This is Living the RV Dream, episode 236 for Friday, April 22nd, 2022.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, hello, fellow pelican heads, happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, schoolie builders, welcome to another episode. Natural is 42222, right? Another one of those interesting dates. In any case, I'm sorry, I apologize, I didn't do an episode last week. But a lot of things happening, you know. Last week, it's 2 weeks ago, we went up to Pelicamp because I received that, you know, fancy satellite dish from Elon Musk, Starlink. So we decided to test it out. And that's the address that I had originally selected. As you know, with Starlink, at least for the time being, you need to have a home address, a home base address. Service address, I believe that's what you would call it, right? So I added the address at Pelicamp, which was a good idea because apparently, if you look at the map, and if you go to starlink.com, they do have a map of the areas where they have right now service guaranteed, or, you know, where you can order service and you will get it right away. They have some other areas, well, it would be like a waiting list, and they have areas where they're not available. And very cleverly, the areas where they're available or a short waiting time are areas with very poor cell phone connection or landline connection. You know, be it coaxial or, you know, whatever landline you can get. And that's the case in Pelicamp, where we are up there in Perry proper. There's no problem, and for good reason, Starlink is not available. But where we are, you know, close to the Gulf, and we are right on the edge of the service area, really. There's very little coverage. There's no T-Mobile whatsoever. There's a little bit of Verizon and AT&T is marginal. It works, but you know, you won't be beating any speed records anywhere on the internet. And then our internet landline is still you know plain old telephone service. It's ADSL, and on a good day we'll get five down and one up, maybe two up. You know, it's good enough for my security cameras, but I wouldn't be able to run a YouTube channel with that. So, and you know, I decided to buy the bullet, and I pre-ordered Starlink about a year ago, and it's finally available there. And it works well for the most part. When it works, the speed is really good. We're getting probably around 10 to 20 up, which is really good. And then down is like fantastic, 300 down, 200 down. The only problem is I have a few obstructions, a few tall trees, as you know, up there at the property. So with these obstructions, what happens, every few minutes you'll get like a 10-second outage. And if you are just doing normal things, browsing, even watching a video, you know, sometimes the buffer is large enough that you won't notice those interruptions. But once you're doing something that requires immediate internet, like a Zoom call, for example, or Ely that works on a Citrix server, or even for my live stream, you know, you will notice those interruptions every couple of minutes. So that's the only negative. But still, even I did a live stream from over there, and except for a couple of moments where I buffered a little bit, the live stream, the quality was excellent. So I'm very happy about that. So I was able to test it out extensively during those days that we were at Pelicamp, and that was one of the main reasons for our trip up there to our Northern Florida retreat. The other one was Minitini One, the original, the first one. But you know, as you know, it's been in storage up there for a little over 2 years now. First at our friends Rob and Trish, the Average Campers, they offered to store it for a few weeks, which turned into a few months, And eventually I brought it to Pelicamp once Pelicamp was ready. And, you know, it's been sitting there in the elements for 2 years now. And, you know, it's I wanted to do several things. As you know, that that trailer from day one had a small misalignment in the axles. So I would wear out the tires unevenly. Those of you who have been following the channel for a long time, the YouTube channel or the podcast, will know that. And you know, I had never serviced the brakes, and I'm sure it needed new bearings. So eventually, instead of getting new axles and the lift kit, I mean, that would have been prohibitively expensive. So we decided to align those original Lippert axles. And I got new brakes, new bearings, and new tires. So that part of the trailer should be, you know, like brand new. But then I went to our friend Greg Casita RV Live. You know, he offered for me to mooch dog at his home for a couple of nights. He was the one who got me the axles shop. By the way, Alan's Trailers in Yulee, Florida. I think they did a great job with the axles, so I have no complaint about those. Then we did a detailing job because, you know, Miritini was dirty and in bad need of waxing, you know, from years of being cooked in the South Florida sun and then the North Florida sun, which is almost as bad as the South Florida sun. And when they were doing the detailing, they discovered that my roof was in very bad shape. In fact, yeah, they showed me that some of the plywood in the front and the back was pretty much gone. So that complicated things, and I had to make a decision: either to let it rot, you know, lose the trailer, or to spend some money and you know, restore it back to nearly as new. And keep it for now, and if worse comes to worse, I could eventually sell it, but sell it in good condition, and you know, get a good deal on it, which is not something that I'm gonna do right now. But for now, I'm gonna keep it. I wanna keep it. I wanna even restore it a little more inside. I mean, everything works in the trailer, and maybe take it on short trips or whatnot. So. So we did the roof, and they also offered to do a triple buffing of the outside, and it came out pretty good. The buffing, it wasn't the greatest job. I guess some things, you know, it's not a miraculous thing. So certain things, they still are not perfect, but it looks 100 times better. And they did a good job with the roof itself. But, you know, it's one of those things that you don't know what people make certain decisions. Somebody thought it was a good idea, for example, to remove my prop ride hitch. I guess for them it would have been easier to move the trailer around and whatnot. And that's not a trivial thing. So they removed it, but then the guy who removed it never showed up again. And there's the hitch sitting next to the camper. The hitch is missing parts, missing, you know, bolts and nuts and all kinds of things. So there was a real pain to put back together. Luckily, one of the guys there helped us with a jack, and we had to go to Ace Hardware and buy some U-bolts, some nuts, some, you know, all the parts that were needed, and some of the lifts for the jacks that lift up the spring bars. They're a little bent. They still work well, but yeah, that's... I was very unhappy with that part of the job, and then certain parts of the job that they kind of botched up, like the way they cut some plastics inside the skylights inside and all that. You know, they didn't do a good job with that part. I'm sure the roof is gonna last forever, And I do have a lifetime warranty on that as long as I keep the trailer. But yeah, there are a couple of things, like my solar is not working, so I'm afraid there's some wire going down that maybe is disconnected, or maybe they blew the fuse with something. So I have to figure that out at some point when I have some more time up there at Pelican with a new trailer, because the trailer, it took pretty much all week for it to be finished. I thought it was going to be done like on Wednesday, and by Saturday I show up there, and then the the hitch is undone, and then Greg and I still had to fix the tail lights of the trailer that were not working. And thank you, Greg, if you're listening. That was some great help with that, and it's one of those things that I can tell it was a lot of work. But yeah, we did it, and but you know, eventually, you know, Yuli is almost 3 hours away from Pelican, but by the time I got back to Pelican, it was 10 p.m. I was exhausted. That was Saturday, and that was pretty much why we didn't get an episode of the podcast last week, because you know I was pretty much all week working, doing projects at Pelican, and then on Saturday I went to pick up Minitini One, and you know, Sunday we parked it in place, and you know, got everything together, and then on Monday. On Tuesday, we went down to Tampa, to the Clearwater area, to the Tampa Bay area, because, yeah, we went down on Monday. We stayed at the KOA there, and on Tuesday, I did a tour of the Lithionics factory there, which actually is quite an impressive operation. I'm gonna do a video probably in about a week. Probably one of those review Wednesdays, either next week or the week after, in which I'm going to show you the whole facility there where they build the Lithionics batteries. That's the battery that is inside, you know, in all the Winnebago Flexes, you know, the FLX model, like the one that I have. And he makes batteries for boats, for some of the Class A's, for even for the Disney floats at Disney World. You know, he makes the batteries for all those. So, you know, I got to have lunch with them and then do the factory tour. Great company, great folks, and it was really cool to visit them. And that was on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we made our way back to South Florida. So I'm still fresh back in South Florida as I'm recording this on Thursday here. And a lot of work ahead because... believe it or not, we have a plan. We have a plan now, and for the Lewis and Clark trip, we kind of have a plan. At least the first few weeks, and I'm gonna tell you all about it at the end of the podcast. But now let's listen to some of your voicemails.
Hi, Robert. My name is Mark Eshelman. I already spent you and. Email contact checking on the Pelicamp t-shirt, and I just was looking at the music online, was wondering if the only way to get your new music is on iTunes and you are no longer mailing burned copies of CDs. If you are doing burned copies of CDs, please let me know how I can get one of your new versions of your songs.
Thank you so much for your message. And yeah, the CDs, I'm no longer mailing physical copies of the CD. And basically, it's in an effort to, the idea is to keep in, you know, the main thing being to keep the main thing. And the main thing is to make videos. And mailing CDs lately had become a very time-consuming task. Or chore, let's put it that way, and I decided, you know, it might be better to concentrate my efforts on actually making the videos, which is the main thing. But yeah, I'm still looking for a solution. If anybody knows of a solution where I can drop ship the CDs, you know, a company that'll do it, and I'm pretty sure CD Baby used to do something like that, but I haven't done my research, to be honest. But definitely, not only iTunes, you can find it on Amazon, you can find whatever Tidal, wherever you can buy music or stream it on Spotify or even YouTube Music. It's everywhere. So the music is there. And I also figure, you know, even though I was selling quite a few CDs, even towards the end, a lot of the newer vehicles that don't come with CD players. So it's something that eventually, you know, I started to run out of CDs, and it was that thing that, do I buy more? Do I buy another 300 or 500, which is the amount that I used to order at a time, you know, so they would be less expensive? Or do I just, for now, do the online, you know, which I also make a small little profit from that. So for now, I'm not going to be shipping CDs. And even the stickers and the magnet that I'm shipping myself right now, as when I run out of those, I probably will not be shipping those. In fact, you can buy those now at the apparel store. And I'm going to be having more of those at the apparel store here very soon.
Hello, Robert. This is Rick in West Texas near Seminole Canyon State Park, where you stayed one time. I remember recently you talking about you being accepted by Starlink, and I was wondering if you had your antenna set up and you're online with them and what you thought about it. Thanks for all you do for us. We enjoy watching you, and happy trails to you.
Well, thank you for your message. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you know, I used it for about 10 days at Pelican, but it worked fairly well. The only problem was the obstructions from all the trees, and the solution, you know, I'm going to put it on a pole. On a pole, make it as high as possible, so I'm, you know, not above the tree line, but halfway up, I think I would get much better results, I think. By the way, Seminole Canyon, that area by Del Rio, Texas, is probably prime location to use also Starlink. And I'm thinking that might be the location where we'll go to see the solar eclipse of 2024, but we'll see.
Are you going to Cave Springs during Lewis and Clark trip?
Well, I don't see any Cave Springs along that route. I've been doing research. Now, if you're referring to the Lewis and Clark Caverns, there's a good possibility. But I don't. I'm the only Cave Springs I see are in Arkansas, and that's way too far south to be part of the Lewis and Clark trip. But the caverns, the Lewis and Clark caverns in Montana, they're a very high possibility that we're going to be visiting those.
Hi, Robert. It's Dylan here from the River Trail area in Pickering, and I have a few questions today. My first question is, how many times have you driven cross country across the U.S. since 2018, and how many areas did you do that? Yes, and my second question is, after the Alaska trip, are you planning to maybe do the Trans-Canada and follow the route that Terry Fox did on his Marathon of Hope? Yes, and my final question is there going to be another Minichinny Lounge? Will you sing the song called Driving to the West? Yes. And today is Saturday, April 16th, 2022. And by the time you're hearing this, it will be the 22nd of April of 2022. So I just want to wish everybody a happy Easter. And by the time you're hearing this, Easter will already pass. And Ramadan. So that's all. And I just want to wish everybody have a wonderful day. And see you guys at the live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern. Bye!
Hey, Dylan, I do believe I have driven in completely cross-country 3 times now. I could be wrong, but I believe the first one was, of course, January 2018. That was the first cross-country road trip where, you know, I went to from the Tampa RV show to Quartzsite, Arizona, and eventually I made it to the Pacific Coast in Oceanside, and that was it. And that summer, of course, I didn't do a trip out west because we went to Finland. Then the second time, it was 2019. I did a similar trip, but I spent more time down the coast. As you know, we went to Ventura, and that was that time. You know, we kind of hugged the Southern California coast a little bit, and then in summer 2019, that was the biggest trip of them all. And on that trip, I did most of the California northern coast. Well, first I did Southern California, as you guys remember. I went to VidCon, but then I did the whole coast from the Northern California coast all the way to Cape Flattery in Northwest Washington State. You know, right there at the end of the Olympic Peninsula, which is the northwesternmost point of the United States, and I went to the westernmost point and the southwesternmost point. And that was the plan in 2019 and early 2020 until COVID happened. But eventually, I do want to go to all the other extreme points that I'm missing in the United States. And maybe I'll do a comprehensive video showing them all. Or maybe I'll go back to some of them just to do them all on one trip. We'll see. We'll see, but yeah, I've done a total of 3 cross-country road trips, and now with Lewis and Clark will be the 4th.
Hi, Robert Cohen. I love your videos, period. I'm curious, have you thought about publishing and selling your travel plans so that other people can benefit from knowing where to go for campsites and different shower locations and that sort of thing, period. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your message, and with that, I have the same situation as I do with shipping CDs. You know, I barely have time to put as much content as I'm doing right now on YouTube. So I would love to write a book. I would love to. In fact, I've started writing it. It's just one of those things that becomes a daunting task when you want to do other things. And again, the main thing is to keep the main thing, and the main thing right now are the videos, and even the main thing are the videos on YouTube, even though I would like to start publishing on Amazon again. And Amazon has changed their policy. If I publish on Amazon now, I would have to charge for the videos, but I'm going to charge the minimum, and at least they'll be available there too. But yeah, that's the short answer. I would love to eventually write a book with all my destinations, or even not a book, but do like a website with all my destinations and tips and whatnot. And right now, the only thing that I have similar to that, and it's also a work in progress, is the map that I have on my website. And if you go to travelingrobert.com, you scroll down, and there's a map at the bottom where I list some of the places where I've been to. And when you click on any of those pins on the map, There will be links to the or several videos that I've done on that particular place. So that would be a good place to start. But I don't even want to think about the amount of time that would take to compile all that data into a comprehensive book. Eventually, I might do something like that, but it's not something that I can do at the moment. I wish I could do it. In any case, as I promised at the beginning of the podcast, I want to kind of give you an overview of the first couple of weeks in our Lewis and Clark trip. And the only thing right now that is written in stone, and that's because that's going to be a sponsored stay with Sun Outdoors, that's Pigeon Forge, and that's during the second week of May. That's going to be probably May 8th through the 11th. I'm going to be in the Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. I don't think I'm going to be able to do any meetups or anything like that. But you never know. You never know. And of course, on the way up there, I'm thinking doing a beach vacation because, you know, South Florida, mid Florida, by early May, the water of the Atlantic should start to warm up. And then we're going to spend a couple of days in Savannah. I want to see Tybee Island and whatnot. I want to spend at least one night visiting half of the family in near Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to visit my friend Roberto Gomez, if he's available, in Waynesville, North Carolina. And then the idea is by May, let's call it May 15th, plus or minus 1 or 2 days, we'll do a couple of days in Harper's Ferry, a couple of days near the Leesburg, D.C. area once again. And then I'm going to start working slowly my way towards Cincinnati and Louisville. And by the time we get to Louisville, it's probably going to be the end of May. I want to do the Ark encounter there, you know, the Noah's Ark that they have. And I want to do a couple of things in Louisville that I haven't really done, like the Louisville Slugger Museum downtown, you know, do some of the points of interest in Louisville. And of course, I'm burying the lead here, Falls of the Ohio State Park, which is on the Indiana side of the Ohio River, which is the very spot where Meriwether Lewis met with Clark, and that's when, you know, they had more or less, they chose more or less all the men that they were going to have on that trip, and eventually from there they sailed towards St. Louis. So after that, after Louisville, we're going to do Paducah, Kentucky. There's a couple of, on the other side of the river, there are a couple of points of interest there. And then probably by early June, we're going to be going towards St. Louis. We're going to spend some time in St. Louis because there are a lot of points of interest related to Lewis and Clark in St. Louis. And then we're going to spend a couple of days in Kansas City because there's a lot to see in Kansas City. Last time I was in Kansas City was in the middle of COVID. So a lot of things were closed down and I didn't, you know, want to do too many public things. So we're going to spend some time in Kansas City as well. But sometime in the middle of all that, I might have to make a quick detour south, and because there's something that I might want to go get in South Carolina. But more about that when the time comes. I don't want to jinx it. And that's it pretty much for this episode. Don't forget, if you check out my merch, all my merchandise at travelingrobert.com. You know, I have a bunch of new designs. I have t-shirts, I have hats, tote bags, all kinds of things. Check it out, travelingrobert.com, and click on the merchandise link. And as always, also, you know, if you're going to buy anything for your RV, check out my Amazon page. There's an affiliates page right there in the website as well. And if you go through that Amazon link, you know, I'll get a little cut of whatever you buy. So that always helps with financing, gas money, basically, and, the production of the podcast and everything else. And of course, there's a Patreon. And YouTube memberships, all that helps. Even PayPal, if you wanna send a donation, or paypal.me/roadnomad, that'll take you to my main PayPal page. But there's also a support page in travelingrobert.com/support. I think that's the URL, and that'll take you to all the ways that where you could, if you feel so inclined, to show support for the work that I do here, the podcast and the travelogue, basically. And right now we're about to embark May 1st. I'm calling May 1st the departure date. We're about to embark in probably the longest, most comprehensive cross-country road trip I have ever done. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to that. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.